Congress proposes a constitutional amendment to balance the federal budget, but it might not be what we need. Congress also seeks to recognize homeschool diplomas and wants to update a committee of the DOT. Yeah. All that and more in today's episode. I'm your host, Joel Whitmire. This is the Freeman's Podcast with the Nehemiah Initiative. All right, so let's get right into it. First one we're going to look at is the constitutional amendment that was proposed in Congress back in February of this year. I did find out today that this actually failed in the House, but I still wanted to talk about it with you guys because we don't get a constitutional amendment every day, and we kind of really do need a balanced budget amendment, which is what this amendment was for. All that being said, we're going to look at what this constitutional amendment was, what the Constitution has to say about how amendments are done, how it would stack up with the rest of the Constitution, and then we're going to look at how this affects our liberty from a biblical worldview. So, the first thing here is, what is it? Excuse me. So this was a joint resolution, and it proposes a constitutional amendment prohibiting total federal expenditures for a year from exceeding the average annual federal receipts collected in the three prior years, adjusted for changes in population of the U.S. citizens and inflation. All right, so I know that was a mouthful, as these things usually are. So basically what this is that Congress is trying to pass this constitutional amendment that would have balanced the budget, except only in the way that it prohibits the federal spending from going past what the average annual federal income was collected in the 3 years before. So what they collected for the last 3 years, the average of that, this amendment would have prohibited them from spending more than that. Now, here's something that's I'm going to keep reading about what it is because it gets a little like, wait a second, doesn't that defeat the purpose? And that is expenditures for payment of debt, that means paying for the payment of debt, and receipts or receiving in money derived from borrowing are excluded. So basically, balance the budget except where we are paying for debt or we're receiving money from borrowing money. And to me, this kind of just defeats the whole purpose, so I'm kind of glad it failed. But there were some other things about it that I thought were interesting. Under this amendment, the Congress may authorize specific spending in excess of the limit with 1, a roll call vote of 2/3 of each chamber, or 2, a roll call vote for any year in which a declaration of war is in effect. So if we have an emergency, if there's a declaration of war, we would be able to, with a 2/3 vote from both houses of Congress, they would be able to raise things. Okay, so we understand there are times where only in emergencies these types of things would need to happen. Or if they tried to do without an emergency, because it doesn't say it was an emergency, it would take 2/3 of both houses agreeing to it. Now, here's another part of it that I thought was actually pretty good. The amendment also prohibits any bill to levy a new tax or increase the rate of any tax from becoming law unless it has been approved by a roll call vote of 2/3 of the whole number of each chamber of Congress. So a whole number of each chamber, 2/3 for both, would have to pass, to have to agree to levy a new tax or to raise a tax that is already law, which I thought, that's a pretty good idea. It should be really hard for them to raise our taxes. So the requirements for this would take effect in the 5th year beginning after ratification of the amendment if it were to pass. But like I said, this did fail in the House of Representatives. It didn't even make it out. And probably because of the debt thing, that's probably a good thing. But all that to say, Congress has got to pass a balanced budget. That is a good idea. The fact that money received from borrowing, again, and that was set to pay debts and is not included in this balance of budget appears to me to completely undermine the whole thing. So what do you guys think, though? Drop a comment if you think this would have, as is, would have been a good thing, or if you have better ideas for how a balanced budget should have worked. So how does this work with the Constitution? So The Constitution allows us to amend the Constitution, meaning we can change it if we need to. There's a huge process involved, which is important. We don't want to just, you know, go crazy and change things all the time. So Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution sets out how we can amend or change the U.S. Constitution. And it states, the Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution, or on the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments. Okay, so what this means is that Congress, if they think it's necessary to amend the Constitution, they can propose amendments, just like this amendment. They have every constitutional authority to propose new amendments. But there's another way to do it. Congress isn't the only ones who get to decide. From application of the state governments, state legislatures, specifically the legislatures, the body that makes laws, if they make application to Congress, and it has to be two-thirds of the different, all the states, two-thirds of all the states' legislatures have to apply to Congress to call for a convention for proposing amendments. So it's kind of a really, really cool safety mechanism that our founding fathers put in place where federal government, Congress, they can propose amendments. But if Congress ever gets out of hand, if the federal government ever really gets out of hand, then the states, two-thirds of the states can apply, make application to the Congress, and Congress has to set up a convention for the states to be able to start proposing amendments, which would then go through the ratification process either way. Now, continuing on in Article 5, it states, which in either case shall be valid to all intents and purposes part of this Constitution. So if they propose them and they're ratified, then it would be part of the Constitution just like any other part is. When ratified, again quoting Article 5, when ratified by the legislatures of three-fourths of the several states or by conventions in three-fourths thereof, as the one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by the Congress. So basically what this means is like for an amendment to be ratified, three-fourths of all the states have to ratify it. They have to agree that this is a good idea. So it is constitutional for Congress to propose amendments. A balanced budget amendment is a must, in my opinion. But I'm not sure, and again, I don't think that this particular one is the ticket for us, especially as it would be a proposed constitutional amendment, and as it allowed them the no control over the debt and spending of debt. It just felt like, what's the purpose here? Because the balanced budget would just fall apart if we're just continuing to borrow and spend money. So, now, how does this affect our liberty and our rights from a biblical worldview? Excuse me. It's spring, and I'm sorry. I keep coughing a lot. I'm allergic to just about everything that lives in my state. So, sorry about that, guys. The Bible says, going back to a biblical worldview, how does this affect our liberty from a biblical worldview? The Bible says in Proverbs 22:7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. Now, if Congress is supposed to represent us and protect our rights and liberty, and by extension, steward our money and resources that they get to take from us by law, and they're supposed to spend that to the end of protecting our rights and liberty, but then they keep spending unfathomable amounts of money, specifically with borrowed money, how can we really stay free? The borrower is slave to the lender. So whoever they're borrowing money from, they've put the whole country in bondage to those people. And just think about that for a minute. That is a real thing. That is how the Bible, how God would view our situation as a country. A balanced budget is an absolute must. And for Congress to act in such a way as this unself-controlled manner as it has been, it will only end up in the destruction of our liberty and the ruin of our country. And that's not hyperbole. Our debt is so out of control, it's going to end up collapsing at some point. It's not a matter of if, but when. Undisciplined and unaccountable spending is antithetical to the reasons for which God instituted government in the first place and to the reasons the founders instituted our system of government. Though this one has failed, though this amendment has failed, we should take this idea and put more weight behind a better constitutional amendment to balance our budget. Without it, our liberty is going to be in a constant state of being threatened. So, that's the balanced budget amendment that again failed, and it's probably a good thing that it did. We need a better one, but again, we need a better one, and I think we do need to put more weight and push this. And, you know, that's something I've been thinking about and really contemplating and praying through actually for a long time now. How can we actually affect real change? And I've got something in the works that I'm really excited about, and I can't wait to share with you guys. And I'm going to put that as a teaser right now because I'm going to be announcing it soon. So be looking out for that. Just a note, it has something to do with Nehemiah. But no more I'm going to say about that right now. So the next bill that we're going to look at that Congress is currently trying to pass is H.R. 6392, and this one is a Homeschool Graduation Recognition Act, and this has passed the House. Now, this bill clarifies that students who complete their secondary education in a homeschool setting recognized under state law are hot. I am going to restart reading this because I can't read apparently at the moment. So this bill clarifies that students who complete their secondary education in a home, in a homeschool setting, recognized under their state, are high school graduates for purposes of eligibility for federal student aid. So basically, if a student is homeschooled and they graduate from high school and their state law recognizes that they graduated from high school, then now the federal government is going to recognize that as well for the purposes of granting student aid. Now, how does this match up with the Constitution? As we talk about all the time, Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution is what sets out the 18 powers that Congress has to make laws. There are a few exceptions, but those have to do with like internal things in the federal government. They have powers to like, you know, do some things in the federal government. But the 18 powers granted in Article 1, Section 8, those have to do with things that affect the entire country. So they affect everybody. And it's only 18 powers. That's it. There's no more. And I like to think of it, and I think I've used this metaphor before. I like to think of it as like 18 levers that Congress has the ability to pull levers on, things like the post office or the military or commerce among the several states and with foreign nations and so on and so forth. So they're allowed to pull these levers. Now, the first lever has to do with is like the spending power, the collecting of tax and spending power for debt, national defense, and the general welfare. But the general welfare and those things have to do with that lever helps the rest of the 17 powers function. So I hope you get that, because I was getting a little ahead of myself there. But the first lever helps the rest of the 17 levers function. And then the last lever helps the first 17 function. That's the necessary and proper clause that they have the ability to make any laws that help these other 17 powers function, whereas the first one helps them carry out the remaining 17 powers. I hope that makes sense. Now, when it comes to this type of thing, when Congress and the House of Representatives proposes a bill, they have to say in that bill where they believe they have the constitutional authority to make that into law. Now, this is a rule. It's not law that they have to do that. It's a rule in Congress that do it. I like the rule, but sometimes it's really pathetic how they do this. This one is, Congress has the power to enact this legislation pursuant to the following Article 1, Section 8. They don't tell us which clause. They don't tell us exactly what it is. So there is no power in the Constitution to regulate or recognize anything to do with education. Nothing at all. And B, Congress has no power in the Constitution to hand out student aid in the first place. So there are three problem powers, like three problem children. in our the 18 powers. It's not that these powers aren't necessary. It's that they are the most abused powers. That is the first one I talked about, the spending clause. And then the last one is the necessary and proper clause. But the one in the middle is the commerce clause. Now, for this law, for this bill, if it becomes law where they can recognize homeschool diplomas, and for the reason of giving and handing out federal student aid to those individuals, if this is the case, that law would have to line up, that bill would have to line up with something in those 18 powers for it to be constitutional. Now, I would say it can't be the spending clause that makes it constitutional, because that power only allows for spending money for, again, debt, general defense, and the general welfare. But the general welfare, some people might, well, maybe that fits in that. The general welfare, the founders defined the general welfare to mean only those things that are defined in the remaining 17 powers in Article 1, Section 8. Meaning, if they want to spend money for the general welfare, then it has to line up with one of those other 17 powers. And it's not the Commerce Clause, because it has nothing to do with the trading of goods among states. And then it's not the Necessary and Proper Clause, because that wouldn't make it constitutional either, because that power only grants the power to make necessary and proper laws in pursuit of a constitutional power that is listed in the other 17 powers. So they can't say, well, we have the power to make necessary and proper laws, and this is necessary and proper for the general welfare, because or for any other reason, because it's not in pursuit of one of those other 17 powers, and it's definitely not in pursuit of general welfare that, again, is defined by those other 17 powers. Now, that might sound like, you know, word salad. I hope it didn't, because it's so important that we understand this as citizens, that the federal government can't just define general welfare and can't just define what is necessary and proper. It all has to be defined within what the founders intended in the Constitution in those 18 powers. So, before anyone gets up in arms, especially my beloved homeschool friends, if they want to think that I'm, you know, trashing the idea of homeschoolers being recognized by the federal government, I was homeschooled. I love the education my parents gave me. It was wonderful. It prepared me for college when I finally got to college. And yes, it would have made my life a just insanely easier if the government, state or federal, had recognized my diploma when I graduated. I actually graduated, had to go get my GED because the state didn't recognize my diploma, and then that enabled me to go into college. But, so all that to say is, like, yes, it would have made my life easier, but the federal government specifically does not have any constitutional authority, from everything we just went over, to make a law like this, because they don't have the authority to regulate or recognize anything that has to do with education. They just don't. It's not there. Now, how would this bill affect our liberty from a biblical worldview? So, the idea, and I know we talk about this all the time on these episodes because it's so important. If we keep allowing the federal government to exercise power outside its constitutional limits, even for good policies that we would, like, really love, if we keep allowing them to do this for anything, we will end up getting a Congress that will use that power for evil purposes. We have to be a people that abide by the rule of law. God's word is full of instances of even the king having to submit to the rule of law, like Deuteronomy 17, 14 through 20, where God instructs him, like, you've got to follow the law so that your heart is not lifted up above your brothers. Like, you don't think you're something special. Like, everybody is under the law, especially the king, especially government. So we have to be a people that abide by and live by the rule of law. The rule of law will help protect the rights and liberty that we have from God. And this is how we're going to protect this liberty that we all cherish, that makes life so incredibly amazing for us Americans, that's protected by the rule of law. Without the rule of law, even in the name of good policies, we are only inviting chaos, even if it comes slowly, but it will only invite chaos. All right, so that was the bill proposed to recognize homeschool diplomas. Now we're going to move into our next one, which is HR 5663. And this is the ACPAC Modernization Act. So this passed the House. How would I say this? This one doesn't blow my mind, but it really does just frustrate me. And as we get into this, I'm going to read what it is, like I said, like we usually do. We're going to look at the constitutionality. We're going to look at how it affects our liberty from a biblical worldview. But just know, I feel like this is probably one of the biggest waste of time and taxpayer dollars that I've seen in a little while. I've definitely heard of more, and you have too. And by the way, if you know of any more that you'd like me to talk about that are just a huge waste of time for our representatives, drop a comment. Now, I'm going to read this now. This bill, the ACPAC Modernization Act, this bill expands the Aviation Consumer Protection Advisory Committee, or the ACPAC. And it expands membership in this committee to include a ticket agent representative. This committee advises the Department of Transportation in carrying out activities relating to airline customer service improvements. Under current law, the membership must include one representative each of 1, air carriers, 2, operators, 3, state or local governments with expertise in consumer protection matters, and 4, nonprofit public interest groups with expertise in consumer protection matters. All right, so just to kind of sum that up, this bill is authorizing, it's expanding a committee. So it's adding somebody else to a committee to include a ticket agent representative. So they're going to add this ticket agent representative to this committee. And this committee is supposed to then advise the Department of Transportation in carrying out activities relating to airline customer service. I couldn't think of a more boring thing to bring up, but I also just wanted to bring this up because did you know that your congressman, that this is the stuff they're spending their time on our dime? Like, they're wanting to add somebody to a committee to then tell the Department of Transportation, to then advise them on customer service improvements for airlines. Now, you and I might airlines need improvement in customer service, but that's not Congress's job, as we're going to get into here. The Constitution, again, only gives 18 powers to the federal government. So of those 18 powers, none of them have to do with anything with the Department of Transportation, especially with airlines, especially with a committee to advise airlines on best practices for customer service. So of all those 18 powers, it can't be the spending clause, because again, that deals with spending our money for paying off debt, the general wealth defense and general welfare defined as within those remaining 17 powers. It isn't the commerce clause, because that has to do with trading goods among the several states. That's how our founding fathers defined it. And it's not necessary and proper clause, because that's only necessary and proper laws for one of those other 17 powers in pursuit of those constitution powers. So not sure where they think they have the power to A, create the Department of Transportation in the first place, back when they actually created the Department of Transportation, or B, where they think they have the power to then create a committee that is supposed to advise the DOT on matters of customer service. The constitutional authorization that Congress thinks they have to make this law, they said Congress has the power to enact this legislation pursuant to the following. Article 1, Section 8. They don't define what part of it. They just say it's in there. So they say that they say that they have this power, but how exactly does Article 1, Section 8 give them the power? It doesn't. This is how Congress is spending their time, guys. This is how our representatives are representing us. They're passing laws to expand committees for a department that's not constitutional to advise them on best practices of customer service for airlines. Yeah, okay. So, is anybody surprised by this, by the way? I'm not surprised. It just kind of gets my blood going, gets me a little bit infuriated. I would love to know the justification for this. Actually, I wouldn't, but because there isn't any. Anyways, how does this affect our liberty from a biblical worldview? So, Congress is supposed to be protecting our God-given rights and liberty, and it's supposed to be by the rule of law, and I know I'm going to sound like a broken record on this because I keep talking about the rule of law, but it is that vital, guys. So instead of them protecting our rights and liberty, they're wasting time upholding unconstitutional administrative agencies like the DOT with our tax money and then creating advisory committees to tell the DOT customer service best practices. This, as stupid as this is yet another example of arbitrary power. And is just more erosion of our God-given rights and liberty, not to mention it's an incredible waste of time. Now, if you're thinking right now, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, okay, that's a little overblown, like, yeah, thankfully this is a use of arbitrary power that has something that might be beneficial to some people some point down the line, but it's using power that they don't have to make things that tend to clog up the works. And we just, because it's so small, just let it keep happening. And we do nothing to stop it. We don't say anything. So, all that to say, we just looked at the proposed constitutional amendment for a balanced budget. And I don't think it would have worked. I'm glad it failed this time, this particular one. But I can't stress enough how much we need a balanced budget amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We also looked at how Congress is wanting to recognize homeschool diplomas, but again, they don't have the power to recognize anything with education. And then we looked at this last one where they're trying to modernize this committee. What was it? It was the ACPAC Modernization Act, where they claim they have the power to create this committee to advise the DOT to for best practices for customer service or airlines, and they don't have the power to do that. So it's an incredible waste of time. It's unconstitutional. It's arbitrary. So looking at all these today, I hope that it's beneficial that I'm bringing these things to you guys, because my heart in this is I want us to be aware. I want us to be aware of what Congress is actually trying to do. Now, a lot of the stuff we talk about ends up not becoming law, and honestly, that's a good thing. But this is what our representatives are up to, guys. So, that's it for today. If you found this helpful, please like and subscribe. Hit that bell so you can get notifications when we drop new content. Share it with a friend. But yeah, thanks for listening, y'all. God bless.